nobody would be here. They all wanted to know the end of the story from yesterday. Yeah. So I've had a mashulach stay with me. Sorry, our learning of Sefer Chofetz Chaim is l'schus refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla yishtav refuah shleima b'korev. So we learned the situation where I had a mashulach staying with me overnight, only me and him in the house, and the pishka's missing in the morning. He's gone, and the pishka's missing. I'm chatting about it after shul, and I'm not mentioning any names, but I'm just telling my friend I had a guy staying with me, and he says, yeah, he stayed with me last year when he came, and my wife's jewellery went missing. Okay, says the Chofetz Chaim, I've got now devorim nikorim. I've got circumstantial evidence. I don't have proof. So normally speaking, when you hear Loshon Hara, then you're always allowed to protect yourself. But the guy's gone. I mean, that's it. He's gone away. And the pishka's missing. Well, 1 second. Oh. So therefore, but halacha is, you're allowed to protect yourself, but you're not allowed to do anything against him. No. You can't b'shaygetz him. You can't treat him any differently unless you have proof. Says the Chofetz Chaim, now that I've got circumstantial evidence, things have changed. In other words, till now, I wasn't allowed to believe, but I have to protect myself. I have to be choshish. Now, says the Chofetz Chaim, with the circumstantial evidence, I'm allowed to believe that he did it, but I don't have proof. Therefore, I'm allowed to go to the police. For instance, I'm allowed to go to the police. I'm allowed to make inquiries. I'm allowed to look at my CCTV cameras. Yeah, I'm allowed to check out and to try and find out. If I found out for sure that he's a ganav, then I can treat him like a ganav. At the moment, I can believe the story, but I can't change my treatment of him. Therefore, these two people who are talking after shul about this ganav, about this guy who's staying with them, yeah, one of them says, I'm never going to let him stay with me again. Yeah, that is not muta al pi halacha, because you're taking action against him. What you're allowed to say is that when he stays with me next time, I'm going to put all my pishkas away, we're going to hide all the jewellery, I'm going to put all the silver in the safe, yeah, I'm going to protect myself against this mashulach, but not that I'm going to treat him differently. And you know what, even more than that, if you gave him some money last year, yeah, when he stayed with you, and he's collecting for whatever cause it is, and you gave him money, you've got to give him the same money next year, or whatever you would have given him the following year anyway, if he hadn't been a suspected ganav. In other words, yeah, so I can make inquiries. I'm allowed to believe the story. I've got circumstantial evidence that backs up what happens. So I believe he stole the pishka. Okay, but I haven't got proof. I haven't actually seen it happening. I didn't see it with my own eyes. Yeah, I could investigate if there's a possibility of investigating. As I said, I could check my CCTV, etc., etc. But until I know 100%, yeah, again, this man's jewelry went missing. Now, I know of a case where there was a Rebbe who came to London in order for treatment to Dr. Adler, and there was somebody who put up, he came with 10 Hasidim, he came with a group of Hasidim, you know, they had their own minion, etc., etc., but he was here for treatment, and six of the Hasidim stayed in a certain house in Golders Green, and the wife of the Balabos reported that a piece of her jewellery has gone missing, and she'd left it in her bedroom, but out, not locked away, and it was out, and it had gone missing, right? And she was convinced that the Hasidim had taken it. One of the Hasidim must have been tempted. The door was open, he popped in, he saw it, whatever it was, and she was convinced until Erev Pesach, when she was doing Pesach cleaning, and she found the ring. Yeah. So therefore, until you've got proof, yeah, you can have circumstantial evidence, but until you've got proof, you can't take any action. So therefore, if he would say, I will never have those Hasidim ever come and stay with me again, if the Rebbe comes next time, I won't let them stay with me, etc., etc., the answer is that's wrong, al pi halacha. You can't take action against them. What you can do is protect yourself. Next time they come to stay with you, put all the jewellery away, hide everything away, right? Hire an Alsatian dog, yeah? Stay up all night, watch everything if you like, take precautions, suspect.
You pay him a hotel room and you send him a hotel to sleep.
If that's the same, I don't know, right? If he's happy with that, and that's called achnos sochim, that's fine.
Start your day the Turnaway, Northwest London, Thursday, Tesvov year, 30th day of the Omer, 23rd of May, Reno Rav Dovid Stern Shlita, Ones Biyom Acharon. This week's Torah we have been sponsored by Family Hoffman, of course, Simchas Bar Mitzvah of Yitzi Hoffman last Shabbos. He Rotzon Shizku Harobus Kenob L'Rav Nachas Menu Mekol Yotzei Chalatehem. Of course, Ashavuim V'Chayolim Bar Melchamos Shach Sule V'Tehem Meshalom V'Neiro.
No problem.
Morning. Nice seeing you.
Morning.
Done
We all know that there's a halacha in Erechaim Simen Kuf Ches. If somebody forgot or had an oinus and missed a tefillah, missed shachris, so he can be mashlim the second Shemayna Esra at the next tefillah. Missed shachris, can dam to minchas, missed minchas, can dam to marevs. So the question is, that's if you, it says, Misha shachach v'inenas. But what about if somebody wakes up in the morning and in the summer it's already late, very early, sometime after 5, and he had plenty of time to daven, but he got up, maybe a bit late, he got up at 7, and then he got busy with something, and meanwhile something cropped up, and maybe he's on Hatzolah and he had to go, and he was unable to daven because until after Chatzos he'd been caught up in something. But it's not like he hadn't had the opportunity to daven. He could have davened beforehand, but by the time he got round to wanting to daven, an onus had cropped up. Is he still allowed to daven a second tefillah? Because the halacha is if you're pesheah and you miss a tefillah, you can't be mashlim. So only shochach v'nenas. So what happens if you were nenas, but you weren't nenas the entire stretch of time, you had some time, you didn't use that opportunity, and then you became nenas later on. So, it's actually often a sefer Shulchan Aruch, where it says there in Simen Kuf Ches, Mi shelo yispalel, ba'oid sheyesh lo yizman leispalel, mipnei shesavur sheadayin yishor lo yizman, achas sheyigmar oysa esek shemsasik bo. He thought there would still be time for him to daven after he finishes whatever he's doing. U benkach, ovro lo yashor. Then he was like, it says, Kulam chashuvim anusim yeshem zashulim. This is considered an oynus, and you can be mashlim. So even though it wasn't really an onus from beginning till end, but by the time you wanted to daven, something then prevented you, that's called an onus. Now, the source of this halacha is in the Muki Yosef. The Muki Yosef is in the end of the second perek of Baba Kama, interestingly. And it's the sugya, which he discusses there, but he quotes a Rama. And he says, Omar Machabel fi Ramazal, nearly borrow, Mishalo Yisvalo, Ba'ich Yeshalo Yisman, Lisvalo, Pich Yisov, Shadayin Shalo Yisman, And he says, he brings another example where this law applies. I made a shvua that I will give my friend money on a certain date, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. I've got plenty of time between now and Rosh Chodesh Tammuz to give him the money. I said, I'll give him, by Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, I'll give you a certain amount of money. And then v'nizka b'oita yoyim godlo, he says, yoyim ployin on a particular day, in fact. But I remembered when there was still plenty of time, sunset was much later in the day. V'oime b'liboy, adan yeshli p'nai. V'olach la'asokov. And then he went to his affairs. And then b'shochach, atch over ayoyim, hareza ka'onos. So he says, likewise, he's treated like an oinus. And says ha'odom b'shvua prat la'onus. If someone is nenas in transgressing a shvua, the Torah doesn't hold him responsible. So he's not mechuyev for his shvua, which was l'shav l'sheker, because he was nenas. Even though he wasn't nenas, truly he had time where he could have done it, but he thought he still has time. That's fine. You're allowed to think you have time because you still do have time. And then eventually you forget later on. That qualifies as an onus. Azoi is the shitta from the Namuki Yosef. which, as I said, is passing in the halacha in Aruch Haim Simchus Ches.
He made a shvur. He made a shvur he's going to pay.
Shvur.
No, it's not
sound like that. A shvur. He made a shvur. However, the Beis Yosef in Aruch Haim Simchus Ches brings a Sefer HaAguda, one of the Rishonim, and the Sefer HaAguda disagrees. And his makor is a halacha in this week's parasha. So, briefly, I'm sure you all know, the halacha is stated in this week's parasha that there are various fields and houses which one can sell and redeem, and they have different laws. And the halacha is of bais or irchayma, bota or irchayma. So it says in the Torah, if ish ki yimko beis moishav irchayma, v'hoysa gulose ad toim shnas mimkoroi. You have 1 year, the moicher has 1 year where he can pay the lekeach, the money which the lekeach paid him, redeem his field and get it back. But if that year ends, then it's litzmisos, lekoin loizrezov, even in yovel, lo yetze be yovel, it remains always a bias of an irchoyma. You have 1 year from day to day to be able to redeem it. So, the Mishnah in Erechin teaches, Erechin daf lamed aleph on the base, 9th perik of Erechin, Bori Shaina, originally, hayon nitzman, the lekeach, would hide, he'd go into hiding, Yom Shnei Masachayish, on the day of the 12th month, when the 12th month was ending, Kadei She'echolot Loit. He knew that, you know, he's hoping that the Moicha won't come and redeem the field from him, get closer and closer to the end of the year. The last day of the year comes, so he disappeared. He doesn't want the Moicha to find him, maybe the Moicha will come today with the cash to redeem his field, so he would nitzman. And this way, the Moicha, you know, against his will, couldn't redeem his field because he couldn't find the man. He was hiding. Hiskin Hillel, so Hillel Azokim was Masakin, Sheikhoilish Ma'isav Lelishka. Just deposit your money in a room, in a particular room, and then break the door open and go. If he's not around, he's hiding, no problem. Just deposit your money somewhere, he'll come and fetch it later, and you can go it. As I state in the Mishnah in Erich, Frek the Sefer Aguda, if the halacha is, so, the halacha of the Megillah that we mentioned is known in the poskim as Oines B'Yom Achrayim, meaning at the end, at the last minute, you became an Oines. And the Megillah said that that also qualifies as an Oines. Frek the Aguda, if that's true, so it's true that I had 11 months, 3.5 weeks to be poida my house, and I wasn't there now, so I had plenty of time. You know, I saw the Lekech every day in davening, I could have done it any time. But the fact is, I thought I had time. On the very last day, I was prevented from doing it. I was anonymous because I couldn't find the man. He wasn't around. If it's true, says Sefer HaAguda, that that's considered an oinus, then why was it necessary for Hillel to come up with some sort of takana in order to avoid the hechlet of the house happening? The lekeach should simply be able to, the moicher should simply be able to say, I was nenas, I couldn't redeem it. You can't take my house if I couldn't redeem it. I couldn't redeem it because he wasn't around. When you couldn't redeem it, you had all year to redeem it. Yeah, but at the last moment when I wanted to do it, I couldn't do it any longer. And according to Mugi Yosef, Oines B'Yoy Ma'achroin is called an Oines. So Sefer HaAguda says, from here, from this Mishnah I see, from our halacha in this week's parasha, not from our halacha in this week's parasha, but from the Mishnah, I see that an Oines B'Yoy Ma'achroin would not be an Oines, and you'd lose your field if you couldn't find the man on the last day. Because it's not an excuse that you were nenas, because you had all year long to do it. And if you waited to the last minute and then you lost the opportunity, that's not a valid oines, says the Sefer HaAguda. And therefore Hillel had to come up with some other takona in order to allow me re-entry into my home. He made some other takona. But from here the Sefer HaAguda proves an oines b'yoyim acharoin, at the last moment an oines which crops up, is not halachically called an oines. It's not an excuse, not called an oines. So it's a machlokes v'shainim. The Namuki Yosef says, an oines b'yoyim acharoin is called an oines. And the Ra'ah, sorry, the Sefer HaAguda says from the Mishnah Erechin, the way he understands it, that Oines B'Yom is not called Oines. So I'm going to talk a bit more about his Raya from Bota Erechayma, whether that's a good Raya or perhaps not. But before I do so, what's the Halacha L'Masa? So there's actually a Shtik L'Stira L'Chayr in the Halacha. Because in Yoyredeya, Simen Reish Lamed Beis Hilchos Nedarim, the Ra'ah brings the story of the guy who made the shvur. Misha nishva, oy nodar, lasa is dovo toichshono, oy b'yoyim pleini. So first of all, he advises, Yeshre la'soise miyad, do it straight away. Or b'shachris, she'yosiyem, or in the morning of that day. Shema yishkach achkach, v'lo yasen, v'yavra anidrash osoy. But v'im lo yoso miyad, ki omar, adayin yeshri p'nai la'soise. If he didn't do it immediately, because he said, I still got time. V'shachach v'inenas achkach v'lo yoso. Says the Ramah, 2 days. Yeshre imrim, the mikra oynes. It says in the brackets, Horan, Perikets Regal, it's actually in Muki Yosef. So he brings the first day of the Muki Yosef, it's called an onus, and you're not guilty of being over Yeshua because at the last moment you were nenas, that's a valid excuse, it's a valid onus. V'yeshoimrim, deloi mikra onus, chidushe aguda, perik mishachsa. So he brings the aguda. So the Ramah brings 2 days. But in Eirachayim, which we mentioned, it says there very clearly in Shulchan Aruch that if you woke up in the morning and you thought you'd have time to daven and then you got busy with something and you couldn't daven anymore, it's called an onus, and the Ramah doesn't say a word there. And he says them like the shitta of the Ramah Yosef, it's a valid onus. So the Magen Avraham asks the question, why in Yeridaya did you see fit to bring a machloek saposkim? The Ramah Yosef says it is an onus, the Aguda says it's not an onus. But here in Eirachayim, by tefillah, you're happy to accept that it is an onus. As they fret the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham answers, Tzorech Loima, the Gaba Shvua, Choshash L'chumra. When it comes to a Shvua, which is the more serious Avera, so he was Choshash, that people should be aware, that it's not so poshut if you'll be honest at the last minute that he will let you off. You might not be able to be let off, because the Aguda says, and therefore, he wants the L'chumra, by a Shvua, be more stringent. By a Tzvila, he was more lenient that, yes, you can daven a mincha twice. So by Tzvili he was more lenient, by Shvua he was more machmir. As though he zot the Magen Avraham. But the Achronim give a different answer. Why in Hilchus Shvuos he brings the day of the Aguda and in Hilchus Tzvili he doesn't. They bring a different answer. Who's the Achronim? A number of Achronim I saw it brought down from Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg in Mishmeres Chaim. So he says, because it's true that the Magen Yosef put the two things in the same basket. The guy who made the shvur and was nenas the last minute, and the guy who wants the daven and then was nenas the last minute, he puts them in the same basket. But the truth is, there's a shaka mokum lechalak between the two. Because if somebody's nenas at the last minute, it could be that he's not called an onus. An onus means you're forced, or circumstances force you. And it could be that you're not a valid onus if you're forced at the last minute because you had time beforehand. But at the same time, it could also be that you're not called a pesheya. Because to be a pesheya, it means that you blatantly ignore a law and you choose not to do something. And if you thought you had time, you're entitled to think your time, right? A guy wakes up in the morning, he doesn't have to daven at 5 a.m. He can daven at 7 or 8 or 9. So it's not a pesheya to wait until you daven. And then something crops up. It could be that the being nenas at the last moment doesn't serve to qualify as an oines, but it does serve to mitigate that it's not a pesheya anymore, because at the last minute you couldn't do it. So when it comes to Hilchus Shvuos, in order to patter you from the Avera, you need to be an oinus. If you make a Shvua and you weren't poishea, you didn't intentionally falsify it or lie or make it be a lie by not performing what you said you would do, that's not enough to patter you from the Avera of a Shvua. It says, Ha'odon b'shvua prat la'olus. If you're an oinus, the Torah doesn't hold you responsible. So the Aguda says that in the case of a Shvua, or at least the Ramah will paskin like the Aguda in the case of a Shvua, because to consider him an oinus when he had time beforehand, I'm not prepared to consider him as an oinus. But it could be that the Aguda would be moida in Hilchus Tefillah. In Hilchus Tefillah, you don't need to be an oinus in order to be daven a second Tefillah. It says very clearly, you just need to not be a Peshea. If a guy is Peshea, he can't daven two minchas. But as long as he wasn't a Peshea, he can daven two minchas. So Mamela, as far as Hilchus Tefillah is concerned, there, the Halacha, the Ramah was happy to consider him not perhaps as an oinus, but at least to accept the Muki Yosef's position that he's not a poshea, and therefore he can't daven two tefillahs. That's another way we can resolve the two psokim. As far as the actual machlokes of the Aguda and the Muki Yosef is concerned, so in Hilchus Shvuos, the Taz in Yerideya, he says that I don't agree with the Aguda, and Avada, you are called an oinus, even Biyom Machrein. And he says that the raya that the Aguda brings from Bota Erechoma, we can be matcha. He gives two reasons why you can be matcha. Well, again, what was the raya? Why did Hillel have to be masakin? That you can deposit money in a room and break the door down if the fellow was nitman. Why can't he simply say to Bezdin, I had no choice. I couldn't give the money to redeem my home because he wasn't there. And therefore, that would alone allow him to not lose his home. Is a rise of that guda, that oinus b'yamachron is not a valid oinus. Says the Taz, no, it could be that it is a valid oinus. But he, two things. First of all, he'd have to prove that the fellow was in hiding. He'd have to bring Edim, because otherwise they'd say, you've lost your house, you haven't redeemed it. He's going to say, no, I couldn't find him. Maybe you couldn't find him. Maybe you didn't look for him. So you'd have to bring Edim to show that I went from house to house, did a house search, and I couldn't find him, he wasn't there. And he said, it's difficult to prove that. And therefore, Hillel gave you an easier way out by saying, Cholish Ma'isov and Elishka, and don't break your door down. But it's not Muchach that had you been able to prove your oinus, you would have lost your home. Maybe you would have not lost your home, but it's difficult to prove. And B says, even if you are able to prove your oinus, it will just give you, you know, some more time. You could do it then tomorrow. But Hillel came up with a better takona, that now I've got the cash in hand and I'm ready to do it. Do it today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to prove that today I can't do it. I'm an oinus. And then, you know, you still have opportunity to do it later on. Hillel enables you to actually today go and do it in his absence, in the lekeach's absence. You're able to go and put your ma'isov in a lishka and go in. So he says you can be madcha, therefore, the raya of that guda, and therefore he holds la'alocha, that we don't see from that mishnah that an oinus b'yamachron is not an oinus, and perhaps it is an oinus. Oh. But the main thing that I would like to just analyze, or repeat anyways, is that the whole raya that the aguda brings from the halacha bota erchoyma is hotly debated in the achronim. Again, what's the raya of bota erchoyma? The aguda says, why would Hillel have to be masaka in a way that you can get into your house by putting your money in a room and breaking down the door? You should simply be able to present your case that I couldn't redeem my house at the last moment because I'm an oinus because he wasn't around. The shaila is, if indeed you were an oinus, let's say for argument's sake you were an oinus from the moment you sold the house, for the whole 12 months you were put in jail and you couldn't be paid to your home bichlal, and it's not a question of oinus b'yom achron, you are nenas kol yud beis chodesh. So the aguda clearly understood that then you wouldn't lose your home, but that's not poshut at all. Because the shaila is, how do we understand this halacha in the Torah that you have 12 months to redeem your house? So there's a machlokes in Siman Nun Hei, in Chosha Mishwa, between the Ketzos and the Nesivos. The Ketzos says that when a fellow sells his house in an Ir Chaima, it's a proper sale. It's a proper sale. It's an absolute sale. It's not a halvor, it's not that the lekeach has lent him money. It's an absolute sale. So, how can the lekeach redeem the house? Redeem the house? You sold your home. You know, if you sold your home, it's too bad. You know, a guy sells his house, the next day he says, you know, I've changed my mind. You can't change your mind. So the Torah says, Gzeres HaKosov, that although you sold your home, you can, during the first 12 months, buy back your home. The Torah gave you a right to buy back your home after 12 months. Before 12 months, sorry. Yeah, before 12 months. As they should take claw, by the way, in Rav Kiva Eger, in Hagos Rav Kiva Eger, in Eurachaim, on that halach in Echasula. I'll read out the words of Rav Kiva Eger. Rav Kiva Eger says, Raya so aguda nearly litchois. De bebote orichoima hamecher nigmar miad. Elod rachmona ziko la hamoicha keilu hisna lekeach imoi, as if the lekeach made a condition. The field I've just purchased, if you give me money within 12 months, I will resell it to you. It's not I'll resell it to you then. I'll resell it to you. But it's basically essentially that the Torah allowed the Moicha to repurchase his home. It's a condition, as it were, which the Torah put down, that in a Bayis Yerchomi you have a right to repurchase your home from the Lekeach retroactively. But if that's the case, one thing. So if that's the case, says the Ketzos, being an oinus won't help you. Because he says the rule is oinus rachmana patre, right? A person, lanaro lo sase dovo, person did something but oinus, we excuse it as if it wasn't me that did it. You know, outside forces forced me to do it. It's not me that did it. But, says the Ketzos, we don't say, his lashon is, we don't say oinus rachmana chive. That means we don't say if you didn't do something because you were prevented from doing it, I consider it as if it was done. You can say that if you did something under duress, under oinus, I won't hold you responsible for it, I'll say as if you didn't do it. But if you didn't do something, because you couldn't do it. It's very nice, I feel sorry for you, but I can't say as if you did it. Or Benus Chachrin of the Ketzai says, Oynus command the loy ovad, domet, as if you didn't do it, but not Oynus command the ovad. So Mela says the Ketzai, in the case of Aris Yechomi, you need to give the Lekeach back money to rebuy your home. So if even if he would be a valid Oynus, even if it would be Oynus via Machr and Latin Yosef would be a valid Oynus, for that matter, you and Nenas the entire 12 months, but you'd still have lost the opportunity to rebuy your home, because you only have 12 months to rebuy your home, and if you didn't do it, albeit Machmas Oynus, you didn't rebuy your home. Therefore, you've lost the opportunity. Oynus cannot save you in this case. Azoi Tainet the Ketzois, that the whole Raya of the Aguda is therefore not a Raya at all, because the situation doesn't allow for Oynus to help you here. Masha Enke in the Nesivus, he says otherwise. He brings Raya from the Gemara, wherever the Sugyas, which considers Bote Orechoma like Ribis, really, but the Torah allowed it nonetheless. And he says that by Bote Orechoma, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that when you sell your house to the Lekeach, it's not yet his. It's not yet his. It's pending. It only becomes his if you do not redeem it within 12 months. And actually, he says, essentially, the Lekeach has lent you money. It's basically the Lekeach has lent you money, and you have to repay him the money. And the way it's put down in the Torah is that if you do not repay him the money that he has lent you after 12 months, then he can grab your home. Like if someone's malva ala mashkin, and he makes a condition with a loiva that if you do not repay me within 12 months, then I will confiscate your home, and you can do such a thing, subject to ribis parameters. So too, by Bayis Erechoyim, it's a halvor. The Lekeach is lending money to the Moicha, and if the Moicha doesn't repay him within 12 months, then the Lekeach gets a right to take the home, and then it becomes his. But it's not that. So again, the Ketzai says that the Moicha sold the home immediately. But the Moicha has a right to rebuy it from the Lekeach. The Nesivus says that's not pshat. And the Moicha hasn't yet sold his home. He's merely borrowed the money from the Lekeach. And should he not repay to the Lekeach, then at the end of 12 months, the field will be, the house will be consigned to Lekeach and will become his. And Memela says the Nesivus, if that's the case, then if you would be an Oynus, you wouldn't lose your field. Because that's really Sugyas and Gittin. If somebody says, you know, I'll give you a get, Imloi Bossi, if I don't return. And then there's a Poske Nor, and he's not able to return. So we say that it wasn't him that didn't return, even if it's a negative. If I say, I won't do something, but then you're prevented from doing it, we don't consider as if you didn't do it. We consider as if it wasn't me that didn't do it, because I was Nenas, and I was prevented from not doing it. Thereby Gittin, we pass an Einonis for Gittin. But that's the concept. So the Nesivus says, Avada, if he would have been a proper Oynus, if the Moicha could demonstrate that he couldn't have repaid the money, he didn't have the money, or whatever, he was in jail for 12 months, Avada, he wouldn't lose his home. Because when do you lose your home? If you don't repay me the money within 12 months, then the field becomes Huchlat to the Lekeach. But here, I didn't not repay you the money. Oynus Ramona Patre. My non-payment of the money was Boynus, and therefore it's not deemed me that didn't do the payment of the money, and if I wouldn't lose my home. So we have a fundamental machlokes here between the Ketzos and the Nesivus as to how to understand the din of Bota Erechema.
So you took a chance. If you sell a house with a 1 year lease and you have to repay at the end, you're taking a chance. Maybe I won't have the money to pay back. Maybe all sorts of things.
Yeah, could be.
So in other words, because he went to prison, that's tough luck.
No, but the Nesivus Rezoi is that I'll read out to you as Rosh, and he says
you have to live with the circumstances as they are.
No, because he says
you want to,
as long as they don't pay back,
you want to, but you were forced. You want to.
It's part of the deal.
He says the Doma Mamush, it's like his never Omar, Hare ani moichel cha beisi, I'm selling to you my house. Im etain, I think it's a mistake, it should be imloy etain. Imloy etain chomois, I'm selling you my house if I do not repay you, adzman ploim. Devadai b'tnai kazeh, under such conditions, im nenas v'loy nosan, Nizbatl hamechir lemafreya. The yotze b'zeh shayach oynus hachmonopatri. Because I said if I do an act of not giving, that's how the Achrayim explain it in Gittin, in Ksubas. I mean, you have to do an act of not paying, and if you're in jail, that's not called you're not paying. Who's not paying? Mr. Oynus is not paying. I'm not paying because I'm a nenas. No, because the condition was if I am the one who doesn't pay you, I lose my home. But it wasn't me that didn't pay you. It was somebody else that didn't pay you, so to speak. I was nenas from not paying you.
Okay, but the other guy also has
a... That's the same thing in Gittin. If I say, if I do not return, we don't say it's tough luck, you didn't return.
But the other guy loses his house if he doesn't get... If the other guy comes with the money.
No, because when in the case of Halvor... In the case of Halvor, you're entitled to claim onus. I said if I don't pay you back, but if I was prevented from paying you back, it's not. I'm not held responsible for not paying you back, and therefore it's not considered that I didn't pay you back, and I still have time, therefore, to pay you back. That's the halacha which we find always in Halvor, that if you're nenas from doing something, you're still entitled to continue doing it.
It's not a loan. It's a Jewish law. Why is it a loan? Why is it called a loan in the first place? He's been doing the house for a whole year.
Yeah, so you have to know. That's why the Gemara Taka says that it's the case of Ribbis, because he's living in the house. He's actually only lent the money, and yet he's living in the house for free, and therefore he's really taking Ribbis, and yet the Torah permits him to do so. That's as you stated in the Gemara. It's a permitted case of Ribbis. Anyway, so I just want to conclude interestingly that the Pasuk says like this. Right? Ach toim shnasim koroi, you have a year to redeem. Ve'im lo yigoel ad molos lo yishona tamima, and if you do not redeem it until a year has ended, v'kom habayis asher bo'ir asher lo yichoyma latzmisus lakoyna oisei. Then the house will come, arise, and belong to the Koina Oisai. Yeah? You hear the words? If it's not redeemed within a year, the house will then get up and go to the Koina Oisai. Says Rashi, V'kom abayis yotza mikoiche shal moicher v'oimeid b'koiche shal koina. It'll go out from the power of the moicher and will enter the power of the koina. What does Rashi mean to say? So if you look in the Gur Aryeh, the Maral, and you look in the Mizrahi, they explain that Rashi was bothered. What do you mean? If you don't give the money back within a year, the house will then belong to the Lekeach. The house already belongs to the Lekeach, Rashi asked. I sold the house. It's already the Lekeach. It's already the Lekeach. So Rashi was bothered. What do you mean? If I don't give money within a year, the house will then arise and go over to the Lekeach. The house has already gone over to the Lekeach. So Rashi therefore says the Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh, that what it means is that yes, it's already been sold to the Keah, but I still had a right to redeem it, to buy it back. And that right I would have lost. That's how they explain Rashi. It's already Bershus to the Keah, but it's Yotza Mikoicha Shal Moicha, the right of the Moicha to rebuy it is now lost. The way they explain Rashi, it comes out that Rashi, they're explaining Rashi like the Ktsois, that it was a proper sale from day one. All that the Moicha had was he had some sort of koyach, and that koyach ends after a year. But if you learn that the Nesivus, then you don't need the Pirush of Rashi, and the Pasuk reads much more straightforward. Because it was never a sale until now, it was only a loan until now, the Lekeach had lent me the money. So the Torah says, Im lo yigol, and if you don't repay him until the end of the year, then, v'kom abayis, asher b'ir, asher l'kein, latzmis l'kein, then it goes over to the Lekeach. Lemafreya perhaps, but then at that point it becomes nechlat to the lekeach lemafreya, because it's only at that point that it becomes sold to him. Previously, it's still yours, so you don't need to mutcha like Rashi mutchas. This is not my hora. So Rizri Rosemount Shlita and Gates said, who was Moira, that lechera the way the Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh tied to Rashi. Rashi was bothered by the reading of the pasuk because Rashi understood the sugya like the ktois, and therefore what do you mean kom lakoina? It's already his. So Rashi says, yes, but I had a koyach to redeem it, and now I've lost that koyach. But if you learn out the Mesivas, then the Pasuk can read Kipshutai, that actually it's not being sold until a year's up. The Aguda, Lechaira, learned out the Mesivas too. And that's why he says that had you been a genuine oinus, you would have not lost your house, you wouldn't have needed Hillel Stakona, and therefore he proves from here that oinus b'yom achroin is not an oinus. But the Ketzoi says that if you learn like me, then it's irrelevant, the subject of oinus, because an oinus wouldn't help you, because oinus is not commander of it. It's only commander loy of it. and therefore there's nothing to talk about, that even under inner circumstances you would lose your home.
Why does it need to be a be'achshu?
Why is it be'achshu? Why do you need that? I'm not exactly sure, but I think in the sugya it comes out that it's not that the sale is only effective in a year from now.
When it releases,
it's lemafreya somehow that when I'm not poider it. Sorry, if I am poider it, then lemafreya comes back to me.
Do we have a system that he deposits the money in Bezbin, and then if he can't find the